What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ?
He brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:30-31. This scripture is used in modern evangelism as a formula for instant salvation. Using a single scripture this way is called reductionism, and is bad theology. There are at least seven aspects to salvation, including belief, repentance, trust, and assurance, commitment, and allegiance, water baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and incorporation into Christian community. To say all one needs to do is believe to be saved, because of what Paul said to the Philippian jailer, is as illogical as saying all one needs to do is be obedient to be saved, because of what Luke said in Acts 6:7. As Gordon Smith writes in Beginning Well, when the Bible refers to the conversion experience through one of the components, we must not be reductionist and conclude that particular element is all that's necessary to be saved. While conversion is complex and has many different elements, any one of these elements can represent the whole of the experience. If one wanted to make an argument for reductionism, and I don't, the only salvation element that would fit the bill would be water baptism. Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, 1 Peter 3:21 NASB. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. Know ye not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Romans 6:3. Another scripture commonly used in evangelism is Romans 10:9, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Using this as a reductionist salvation formula ignores the meaning of the scripture in context. Certainly no one could argue that Paul thought water baptism was superfluous. In fact, Paul insisted on baptizing the very one he told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:33, and in another place, Paul equated water baptism with believing. Acts 19:2-3.
Water baptism and faith are not mutually exclusive.
Theologians recognize the existence of what appear to be antinomies in the Bible, but faith and water baptism as the means of salvation is not one of them. E.M.B. Green said, the New Testament saw no tension between salvation by faith and salvation by baptism. They are properly regarded as belonging together. Paul's own teaching on baptism carries with it the implications of dying with Christ and rising to newness of life with him. Romans 6:1-16, precisely as faith union with Christ does. And it is the Holy Spirit, given access to the life of the believer, when he turns in faith to God for salvation, who actualized in him the death to sin and the life of righteousness of which his baptism speaks. Faith, then, is sealed by the outward and visible sign of baptism, and the inward and spiritual grace of the Holy Spirit received into the life.
Water baptism is identifying with Jesus' sacrifice.
One of the primary aspects of baptism is identification with the sacrifice of Christ. Saints need to be buried with him in baptism. Colossians 2:12. Here's what Bible scholars say about baptism.
Matthew Henry.
Not the outward ceremony of washing with water, which, in itself, does no more than put away the filth of the flesh, but it is that baptism wherein there is a faithful answer or restipulation of a resolved good conscience, engaging to believe in, and be entirely devoted to, God, renouncing at the same time the flesh, the world, and the devil. Washing is the visible sign, this is the thing signified. The apostle shows that the efficacy of baptism to salvation depends not upon the work done, but upon the resurrection of Christ, which supposes his death, and is the foundation of our faith and hope, to which we are rendered conformable by dying to sin, and rising again to holiness and newness of life. As Christ suffered in his human nature, do you, according to your baptismal vow and profession, make your corrupt nature suffer, by putting to death the body of sin by self-denial and mortification, for, if you do thus suffer, you will be conformable to Christ in his death and resurrection, and will cease from sin.
Barnes.
Baptism administered in connection with true repentance and true faith in the Lord Jesus, and when it is properly a symbol of the putting away of sin and of the renewing influences of the Holy Spirit and an act of unreserved dedication to God, now saves us. When a man is dead, he will sin no more, referring of course to the present life. So if a Christian becomes dead in a moral sense, dead to this world, dead by being crucified with Christ, he may be expected to cease from sin. The reasoning is based on the idea that there is such a union between Christ and the believer, that his death on the cross secured the death of the believer to the world.
Jamieson, Fawcett, and Brown.
Transferred from the old world to the new, so we by spiritual baptism, saves you also, not of itself, but the spiritual thing conjoined with it, repentance and faith, of which it is the seal, as Peter explains. Compare the union of the sign and thing signified, that he, the believer, who has once for all obtained cessation from sin by suffering, in the person of Christ, namely, in virtue of his union with the crucified Christ, should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God,